Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ask Catherine and the Celeria team. This is Carolyn Betts and Catherine Austin Fitz, recording on October 11th. And again, thank you for your questions. We're organized by category. We start with cash and precious metals. One question. A question about, let me just read it. A state in a recent Celeria report, investment grade silver is taxed around 20% in the EU. However, I realize that even if Sweden has a large tax, 25% VAT on silver, I can legally purchase silver directly from private individuals on local secondhand platforms, in which case I will not pay VAT and the markup is maybe 5%, saving me these last 20%. Indeed, this sounds too good to be true, or am I missing something? Sure, I won't get a receipt. And also, what is the risk of fakes in the 1 ounce silver coin market? Presumably, the sellers purchased the silver without VAT, e.g., before 2022 from Estonia, making it a win-win. Oh well, they could have imported it illegally. Regardless, I'm buying their silver coins in good faith. My understanding is the following: a private individual cannot take VAT, and technically, a seller in Sweden is just that as long as they are not seen as a business. Perhaps they should consider a business if they have a continual for-profit activity, in which case VAT is added. I don't know. Regardless, I'm a happy buyer. Okay, so one of my European colleagues, in fact, in Sweden, said, "Here's a comment from my precious metal supplier. I consider him the most professional in the business." This is correct. However, I doubt that you can find any meaningful volumes of bullion silver coins from private sellers at a 5% commission. I typically see prices of 20 to 25% over spot, which is still cheaper than buying through the precious metals trade, as we take 17% manufacturing premium plus 25% VAT. In addition, if a private individual is trading in silver coins in meaningful volumes, the trade is taxable as business and 25% VAT applies. So it sounds like your information is correct. And the question is, can you get a meaningful discount? I do think the chances of running into quality problems are greater than if you buy from a legitimate dealer. Okay, where to stash your cash and coin? No questions this week. Unbelievable. Geopolitics and financial markets. That's the first one is yours, Carolyn.
Okay, this says, "Hi, Catherine. The book, The Great Taking, is the talk of the day on Twitter at the moment. Its contents completely fit the image of Mr. Global as it has been forming with me. What is your take on the book's author? What I wonder further, do I understand correctly that Webb is arguing that a house taxed with a mortgage would be covered by the taking, but a house without a mortgage would not? Thanks for in advance for your reply." What David, I have read the book. What David Webb is primarily talking about is Article 8 of the Uniform Commercial Code, which applies to securities. The system for mortgages on houses is a local matter in each county, usually. And in order to take an interest in a lien on your house, there is a mortgage or a deed of trust filed in the local recording office. So, and generally people get mortgage insurance. So there's a more there's a I'm sorry, not mortgage insurance, title insurance. And generally a lawyer or a title company is basically issuing a guarantee that you have good title. So my take is that unless there's some completely different scheme, different from what he describes in the context of securities that I don't know about, I think it would be very difficult to do what he's describing with property. Now, mortgage-backed securities might come under the rubric of securities as he's describing, but the risk there is to the holder of a mortgage-backed security, not the owner of the land or the house. Now, I was just telling Catherine earlier, there was an effort by the big banks that were taking liens on real estate, making loans, mortgage loans, and taking liens on real estate to create a parallel system that was basically on the books of somebody else, namely MERS, something called MERS, which stood for something like Mortgage Electronic Recording System. And it was a scheme by the banks or the mortgage lenders to have MERS, which was not actually an entity, it's just a system, to record in the local land office that the owner of the mortgage, holder of the lien, was MERS, and therefore a different banks could go in and buy and sell the mortgages without ever recording, because MERS was acting as an agent for all of them. And a recording officer in a New England state, and I want to say it was Massachusetts or New Hampshire, came out and said, no way are you guys doing this in order to avoid your recording fees. MERS is not an entity. It's just a system, and a system cannot own a mortgage. Therefore, we ain't doing it. And that judgment was upheld by a court. So from what I could tell, as acting as in foreclosure cases, in foreclosure defense representation, the mortgage lenders had pretty much given up on arguing that MERS was the holder of mortgages. But whether that was originally intended as a way of somehow getting centralizing the system and taking land, I don't know. It was presented at the time as a scheme to avoid recording fees.
Right. But what David is talking about is grabbing securities, not homes.
Right.
So he's proposing this is Mr. Global's scheme to grab securities, and it follows from decades of dilution of the direct ownership and property interest in a stock or bond certificate. So there's been a steady effort to centralize and digitize the management of the securities in a way that has diluted property rights. And David is suggesting, you know, that they're about to take it all the way and be able to grab it. And in fact, he's been invited to do an interview on the Salieri Report. He's a friend of mine, a personal friend. I first heard his presentation in 2020. And it was December 2020 in Basel that he and some of his colleagues first gave it at a meeting of people sort of gathered to look at what was going on in the global financial system. Anyway, so before that interview, Carol and I are going to go through sort of the legal details in more detail, because I'd like to do them. But essentially, all he's saying is the same thing the World Economic Forum is saying. It's 2030 and you have no assets. So to arrive at you have no assets, you have to have a way to bail in the banks, which we've talked about separately. And what he's proposing is this is the mechanism he thinks they'll use to bail in the securities. Anyway, so more on that when we interview him. But if you look at the mechanics that he's proposing they're using, maybe it's correct, maybe it's not. But I think there is no doubt in any of our minds whether it's how they grab the precious metals, how they grab our kids, how they grab our real estate, how they grab us, how they grab the securities, how they grab the you know, bank deposits through bail-ins. When there's no law and a group of people have sovereign immunity or above the law and engaging in criminal activity, then ultimately that's, you know, this is where it goes. And I'm always surprised that message hasn't gotten through.
Well, it becomes a little more shocking when someone describes the legal argument for how they can do that. And of course, the fact that the powers that be, Mr. Global, whoever said BIS, says this is the legal framework, it doesn't mean that any court of law has upheld it. So,
right,
you know, they can do
whatever. But the other thing is, if they ever get complete financial transaction control, then they have the ability to take whatever they want.
Yeah, whether it's legal or not.
Right. Right. So they don't. You know, in one sense, they don't need all this fancy stuff David's proposing. Get financial transaction control and then just take whatever you want.
Right.
But, you know, the reason I'm glad that David did this and it's bopping around is this is exactly the conversation that we need to have, which is why Carolyn and I have been writing for years about whether or not we start escrowing our taxes and pushing back financially. It takes quite organization, but I think, you know, you have enough state legislatures reading The Great Taking, and maybe they're willing to go to work, Carolyn.
Right.
Okay, did you want to take question four?
This one says, recently the book The Great Taking by David Rogers Webb has been circulating at only 130 pages. A free PDF version is available at www.thegreattaking.com. The author states that all collateral for the $70 quadrillion in notional value of derivatives is legally controlled by the bankers, who are in a secured creditor position relative to all other creditors, i.e. the average investor, 401k holder, etc. I have been unable to get my investment advisor to focus on this and answer me directly whether this is in fact the case. If it is, it would seem that we all should get our money out of the markets and our 401ks ASAP. Can you please advise whether the premise of the book is in fact accurate? Catherine has described basically what the premise is that David writes about. It appears that that is a possibility as to securities, that those mechanisms exist. That's not to say that there is going to be a great taking. We don't know. I'm personally not in favor of taking everything out of the market, because there isn't. I'm in favor of supporting the businesses of the United States instead of sitting on precious metals or a bank account that has money in it that doesn't, may or may not get interest and doesn't do anything particularly productive. But Catherine, do you have a comment on whether it's a good idea to take everything out of the market?
So here's the thing. Take any asset class. So bank deposits, real estate, securities, precious metals. Mr. Global is preparing strategies to take it.
Right, that's true.
If you leave one thing that Mr. Global is preparing to take, you'll go to another asset that Mr. Global is preparing to take. Okay. So every asset class has risks and it has opportunities. So, if you look at all the different ways your precious metals can be stolen or seized, your real estate can be stolen, seized, or, taxed to death. Your bank deposits can be bailed in. It goes on and on and on. So there are risk issues for everyone, but there are different opportunities and reasons to hold everyone. So, I have precious metals, I have real estate, I have securities, and I have bank deposits. And I have them for different reasons. This is a war. And in some scenarios, some of them will be good and others not. In other scenarios, others will be good and others not. And so this is like having, it's players displayed on the chessboard and you're hoping some of them get through.
Right. Diversification is good.
Yeah, but here's the thing. There are risks in everything. Now, I don't think we're going to make it through unless we have financial liquidity. So, I'm in a savings plan, and I send money into securities every month. Every month I add to my securities position. It's a small amount, but I'm just buying in and buying in and buying in. So, and if you look at the companies that I'm investing in, they're fantastic companies. I have real estate, but the reason I have a gun is to protect that real estate. And ditto with precious metals. And, I try to have what I think is about the best capitalized and safest bank certainly in the United States. Anyway, but there's risk on all of them. And what I would say is if you've got all your money in securities in a 401k, you do need some diversification. You do need some hard assets. So, the ideal thing is if the great taking happens and all your securities disappear, if you have enough land, enough food, enough water, enough money invested locally in resilient ways so that you have a community and provision for what you need. I would much rather build a well and have independent energy than own securities.
Well, and as I always put in a plug for local investing. We have all sorts of resources on the site describing opportunities for local investment and some of the work of Michael Schumann in that regard. So.
Right, right. Exactly. Now, takes more work, takes more patience, takes more knowledge. The people who do it well, do better than they do in the securities market. If you're
Right.
really good at local investing and know what you're doing, you've probably outbeaten, you certainly probably beaten Warren Buffett in the stock market.
Right.
Okay. Feedback. Wow, this is amazing. Nothing in banking, nothing in other investments, nothing in living equity, nothing in, I think Israel's got everybody distracted.
Right.
Feedback. Let's see. The changes to made to the apartment asset website are significant and very positive. So that's the company that Solaris Screens does a screen with. I also wanted to mention that your speech on September 11th at the Netherlands conference was wonderful and reminded me again to be positive and proactive. In a similar vein, Jason Whitlock's article invoking the biblical story of Gideon reminds us all that even a small number of people can make a difference. So they sent that in. And if you haven't listened to our interview with Thomas Meyer on the story of Gideon, it's pretty wonderful. Then somebody jumped in with a long comment on Russell Brand. I'd made Russell Brand Hero of the Week and got, I think, a fair amount of subscribers, several subscribers expressed the fact that they didn't think he deserved that. He's been accused anonymously by people of sexual abuse. I don't know what to say. If to be a freedom fighter, we have to be perfect, nobody will be a freedom fighter. And there were several people who posted, I think his name was Alistair Williams, criticizing Brand as sort of a controlled opposition. And he made some very, very good points. And I posted that video and in the Hero commentary. I do feel, and I mentioned to you, Carolyn, I didn't say this earlier, I used to be a rape counselor for a couple of years, and I know a lot about rape. Russell Brand was a dangerous rapist. And these people really were raped, as they claim. The fact that they said nothing for 10 years meant that they would allow a dangerous predator to be running around the world. And they're not protecting anybody from him. That's number one. But then number two, and the author points out that there's no statute of limitations in the UK the way there is in the US. But, it's beyond the US statute of limitations. And my attitude is, to come out after that kind of period and to do it anonymously when the guy has just been fighting the pharmaceuticals and fighting CBDC. And, it's cheap. And so I can't take anybody seriously unless they're prepared to be public and go on the record. Let them file legal testimony in a court of law. If you give an anonymous interview to a journalist, and it doesn't have the same weight as filing an affidavit in a court of law. One, if you're lying, it's in the second, it's perjury. If you lie in the first one, there's no law broken, is there?
No.
Right. So it's cheap,
I mean, it can make cause for a defamation suit, but
How's he going to sue them if they're anonymous?
right.
Yeah, so they're protected from defamation. They get to accuse him. They don't have to put it forward their name. They don't have to go on the record, and they don't have to subject themselves to the standard of perjury charges.
Well, and as Joe Mercola has pointed out in his newsletter today, it's not a coincidence that this happened after he endorsed or brought on his show Robert F. Kennedy, who's certainly subject to attack. And as someone we will visit later in recommended links has pointed out, he's also really attacked the British government, British regulators in particular, over the new censorship laws in Britain, so which would adversely affect his business and that of many, 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 many people who want to exercise their rights of free speech to the extent they have them in Britain. They're not as wide as in Britain as they are in the United States. But he's been speaking out, and it's not a coincidence that this happens to him
Right.
after he's been speaking out. This is the Eliot Spitzer play.
If the only people who can take a position for freedom are perfect, freedom's over. Anyway, so I have now taken down my hero designation for Russell Brand, and I intend to keep it up. Okay, second. Oh, but I do want to say that video, basically saying he's a modified hangout, I thought was very good and well done. And so there's another side to this thing. Okay, secondly, this person said regarding Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews' resignation, I had said that he was either resigning because he didn't have enough political capital to do what's next, and he was not on board for doing what was next, or he just, Mr. Global got rid of him because his political capital was gone. Speaking as a former Victorian resident under the Andrews government, I can confidentially say that he has exhausted almost all of his political capital, left with only the most diehard of fans. Plus, chances are, as you suggested, he doesn't have the energy or willpower to implement the second stage of the plan. I think it's both. I also think one factor that was overlooked is that Andrews has been running the most corrupt state government in the country for some 14 years, along with the law enforcement, as an inquiry in 2019 proved, before conveniently being derailed by the pandemic, that it has gotten to the stage where people are asking more questions, and he's much more likely to begin to be held accountable, both in the public eye and legally, for his decisions. Remember, the man is a psychopath, and I mean the medical definition of this world. He has zero empathy, and he lies with an absolute straight face directly to the camera, plus accepts no responsibility for any decisions he's made, never has. I think most of his decisions surround to quit boils down. Most of his decision surrounds to quit boils down to not wanting to be around when the music stops and he's left without a seat in this little game of musical chairs. Okay, so good intel on Daniels. Mr. Global, hi, Catherine and team. Years ago, when I was living in the Ichabod Crane sleep world, I signed up for TSA Global Entry. Okay, so this person is asking, should they renew? The reason not to go into Global Entry is you don't want to get into the system since you're already in. I don't see any reason not to renew. I've gone into the equivalent for the domestic system in the United States, and I thought I was staying in, but they never told me that I had to pay a new fee. And then I discovered it had been pulled, and they said, just go online and pay the fee. I tried to do it, and it wouldn't take it online. It said I had to go back and start through the process again, so I'm not going to bother. Anyway, but if it saves you a lot of time and travel, you're already in the system, so I would just roll it over. What would you do, Carolyn?
Well, I'll tell you, it would be tempting. I just got back from Europe, and the lines are way shorter for the people who've turned over their information, but I personally am not planning on giving up that information. Certainly, if they've already got the information, they're not going to erase it from their system.
Exactly.
So I think we're already out of the barn on that one.
Yep. Okay. Health food and the great poisoning. And the next question, Carolyn, is yours.
Okay. This one applies to me because I also am in a Medicare Advantage plan from Humana, and I also am thinking of leaving it. This person says, I'm horrified by their privacy policies. The notice of privacy practices applies to all entities that are part of the affiliated covered entities under HIPAA. That's a broad group. You know, it's everybody we do business with or might have a good excuse to turn your information over. HIPAA does not, this is my comment, HIPAA does not really protect you from much. They state that, quote, we can change our privacy policies and the terms of this notice at any time as allowed by law, including information we created or received before we made the changes. Non-public personal or health information includes both medical and personal information. Among the ways they use and disclose my information are for determining eligibility, enrollment, and disenrollment, for compliance programs and health oversight activities, to avert serious and imminent threat to my health or safety, or the health or safety of others. You know, and this person says pandemics. Your information may continue to be used for purposes described in this notice, including when you do not obtain coverage through us. Oh, great. We can change the terms of this notice, and the changes will apply to all information we have about you. That pretty well covers everything they know about you or ever have known about you. So this person, this subscriber says, what are the best private, i.e. non-government alternatives to Medicare for citizens like me who believe that the practice of medicine should be between a doctor and patient, but who still may at some point need expensive hospital care or pharmaceuticals? Does the state medical board have a list of qualified independent doctors? Each medical board is different on a state-by-state basis, so I would not, can't begin to tell you what they have, but independent doctors, I doubt that the medical boards are waving flags to let you know who the alternative doctors are. This person says, I live on Social Security. I'm not rich, but I have some savings. I'm pretty knowledgeable about healthcare in general, but I'm getting paranoid about going to the Medicare affiliated insurance governed doctors who won't order complete blood tests because the insurance company won't pay for them, and which may erroneously indicate the need for thyroid, cholesterol, or other medications for life. This is my comment. That's my experience. Once I've went on Medicare, they have all sorts of ways that I can spend the money of my Humana, but you know, it really comes out of our taxes. So I sent this question to Jennifer Walters, who's our health series RN. At Solari. And she says, basically, there are doctors that accept Medicare and others that have opted out of Medicare. So they don't have to put up with the CMS policies. CMS is the part of the HHS that is in charge of Medicare and Medicaid. You can read about how doctors opt out of Medicare here. And she gives a link. She's provided all sorts of links. She recommends the provider lists on the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons and the Wedge of Health Freedom. And we have all of this. I'm going to include her response in the notes. It's very helpful. I had her on Financial Rebellion. If you go to Solari in the News and look for the Financial Rebellion we did, I don't know, a number of months ago, that I did with Jennifer Walters, we talked about a lot of these issues, and I would very much recommend that you listen to it. But she also gives a lot of links. You can become a member for free of the AAPS. There are a list of doctors who are members. There's a link to Wedge Healthcare. She recommends also gives a link for MediShare health plans, Samaritan health plans, which Catherine can tell us about because I think you've done that. There's a book she recommends called Common Sense Medicine by Jeff Danby. I also have a link to that. And a book, Big Brother in the Exam Room by nurses Twyla Braze. I don't know whether it's two nurses or one nurse, but she's got some links to our interviews and the Financial Rebellion episodes and Catherine Musings on healthcare insurance information. So if if you don't know a lot after that, you know, you will. Catherine, you wanted to comment on Samaritan?
Yeah, so I used to be a member of Samaritan Ministries, and it's a self-insuring group of Christians. There are other groups like that, I'm told. Samaritan's the only one I had experience with. But if I were you, if you qualify for any of the Christian groups, there may be others that don't require you to be a Christian, but Samaritan's the only one I really have experience with. I would definitely check them out, because if you look at many of the healthcare, the kinds of healthcare you need and where you're going to go, it just may be Samaritan will cover you in a much more creative way than Humana. So I just find increasingly plans like Humana, because of what they cover and what, if you look at what most intelligent people are likely to use, they're going to use alternatives that Humana won't cover. And so at some point it becomes very uneconomic and more economic to do something like Samaritan, but you really have to dive into the details to make sure. And of course for Samaritan, you need to be Christian. So I would check out the self-insuring group collectives.
Jennifer also recommends you looking at the prices of goodrx.com, which is a card that you can get to buy pharmaceuticals. And sometimes they're cheaper there than through your health insurance. And you don't have to have, you wouldn't basically use your health insurance. And the description of the wedge of health freedom is a free trade zone for healthcare. Any doctor, clinic, or pharmacy is direct pay only. None of them accept Medicare or attached at all to the CMS system. This means that you have true privacy between the doctor and patient. No government reporting. go to their website and read all about it at The Wedge. I believe, based on partly on the fact that there are a lot of doctors and nurses and other healthcare providers who've had to leave the system because they wouldn't take the shots, I think there are a lot of people out there who know about the demand for care that's outside the Medicare, Medicaid system and the insurance system. Understand that the healthcare insurance companies use the same system and the same codes as Medicare and Medicaid. And so you're basically in the system for all the data collection, even if you have private insurance, unless your doctor does not take the private insurance and you don't put in for coverage. So, but right. I think there are going to be more and more things springing up, like maybe hospitals that issue their own insurance or doctors' practices that do the same thing. So I would say keep an eye out for this this AAPS site and see, because they probably would be reporting the existence of that type of thing.
Right. Nothing in energy and environment, nothing in Tech Corner. We have one actually that might go into Tech Corner at the end of the month. And then Bizarro World. Question for Catherine. I live in Canada. Trudeau is now requiring all podcasters to register with the government. Actually, there's a limit. I think you have to generate at least $10 or $11 million before right. you are considered to be eligible. So podcasters who are generating less than that number in income, which is fairly sizable. You know, there are a lot of podcasters below that amount, including yours truly, Soleri. Soon the list will include all alternative health businesses, which will mean my bank accounts and likely the bank accounts of my family members will be shut down, just like what happened to the truckers. Does Soleri have any ideas of what to do with Canadians when that eventuality happens? I'm not fear-mongering, just planning in advance. We have to build transaction systems, even currencies, outside the establishment system. And to do that, we need enough ability to provide food, shelter, water, without depending on the establishment. So part of this is building up networks of resilient living. And it's not only the ability to transact outside their systems, but to provide food and other basic provision. I live in Alberta. It seems that Premier Smith and Mo are putting up a fight. We'll see if that actually happens. You need to help them. Everybody needs to help their regional or state or local leadership who's fighting this. And you got to fight now. You can't wait until it's even more draconian. Now's the time to fight. So whatever you can do to help them, you want to do it. Okay, other. Dear Catherine, I know you are on the advisory board of Targeted Justice. I'm the TJ contact person for Melbourne, Australia. Good for you. And we have started an Australian support group. Good for you. This is the way to do it for targeted individuals, hoping to grow it into an Australasian regional support hub. That's fabulous. Doing great things. By finding you and listening to you online, my eyes were open and I was saved from gang stalking destruction. That's fantastic. It really, you know, if you know what you're up against, it really, you know, you can start to take evasive action. Frantic research took me to Targeted Justice, where I found you again. And that is how I am now back on my feet and helping others. That is fantastic. You know, they offer a lot of great information, I must say. I'm trying to empower my group members by offering a better understanding of how we Australians in our country are connected to the U.S. fusion centers and how the mesh of defense contractors, military forces, intelligence agencies, and global law enforcement collaborate to enable our targeting to continue. So I sent you a few ideas about how to do that. Following you and your team's research over time has helped me put a lot of pieces for the global puzzle together, but can you guide me to any specific sources that paint a clearer picture of how the Australian agencies are linked with agencies outside the country? Can you help me uncover what the Australian fusion networks look like? I know there's a lot of secrecy involved here, but I also know you and your team do some great digging and I'm prepared to put in the work. Okay, so I would follow the contract flow out of both the Australian government, the Australian military, and out of Pine Gap. I would definitely learn everything you can about the Pine Gap operation. Several years ago, I think it was 2016, 17, The Australian military did a huge outsource contract with Lockheed Martin. And I would definitely research what that contract was and what the how that may fit in with the fusion networks. But you want to follow the corporate contracts, and to the extent you can get information, the corporate banks, it's usually a lot easier to follow the contracts. And then a very nice compliment. You are a treasure. You saved my life. May God bless you and keep you safe always, sincerely. Isn't that wonderful? So here's a person who's targeted. They're being targeted with gang stalking. They figure out what's going on. They do the research, and the next thing you know, they're helping other people. It can make a huge difference. One person can make a huge difference, and this is a person who's making a huge difference. One person like what you're doing can turn around and save 12, people in this kind of targeting, and they can each turn around and save 12 each. Do you know what I mean? And it just networks out. And then suddenly the tactics don't work the way they used to. Anyway, congratulations. Okay, Carolyn, next one is yours.
Okay, this subscriber writes, here's a comment from Patrick at Countermarkets, helpful for leading a free and inspired life. And it's sort of a funny comment about the emergency broadcast system test that was to happen in the future when this was written. The killer FEMA 5G signal is being sent any minute, and I'm not worried at all. FEMA and the FTC are conducting a test of the emergency alert system today at 2:20 Eastern Time, any minute now. It probably already happened by the time you're reading this email, and it's going to turn people into zombies. Or wait, it's going to activate the killer Marburg virus in people who got jabbed. Or actually, it's going to reverberate in our cells and cause untold disease and sickness. Or hold on, perhaps it could just cause a bad headache or you know what. Forget all that. I'm sick of these baseless conspiracy theories floating around. Listening to another random guy or gal in their car talking about what might happen, according to their wild conjecture, is probably worse for my health than being exposed to whatever signal is being sent out today. Give me a break. Yes, some sonic weapons are real. Microwave radiation is real. The government does have voice of God technology to make people hear voices in their heads. I get all that. But when even normies across social media are posting tinfoil hat photos, I have to wonder, is that the point? Not to activate graphene oxide in the blood, but just to make people afraid of what the government might do to them. To perpetuate the conspiracy theory that the ruling elite are all powerful and unstoppable and can do anything they want to you, including turning you into a zombie with a sound. I think the real disease is the memetic mind virus being spread around. It's fear porn, and I ain't buying it. As my friend and business client John Bush of Live Free Academy said today, you should only be focused on what you can control. You can't control FEMA alert signal. If you want to go for a nature walk alone away from tech for a while, go for it. That will be good for your health. But don't do it only because you're afraid of having a disease generated inside of you from a sound frequency. Do it to clear your mind and refocus your life and goals, grounding yourself in reality. Then get back to the hard work of taking consistent action in the real world to live a freer, more self-reliant, and independent life.
So basically, what he's saying, and I agree with this, is if you focus your allocation of time on building offense instead of defense, you'll do better. Now, sometimes there's a particular risk, and it's smart to occasionally flip to defense. But I find 80 plus percent on offense is the way to be. And if you end up 80% on defense, it's a spiral down. You never get anything done. So and so you have to be really selective of when and if you ever go to defense, because you can waste a lot of time and money trying to play defense. And the other thing, it's I tell the story, I think, in one of the spiritual warfare interviews, and then Why I'm an Optimist, but I think I tell it Why I'm an Optimist. It's the story of the blue light. So I had an extreme experience of angelic protection. And with it came, seeing blue light surrounding me that other people couldn't see, but I could see it. Anyway, but I, you know, I constantly say, don't worry about playing defense. Worry about getting in good with the guys with the blue light. Right, because if you have that kind of protection, you'll be fine until the you know, it's time to leave, and then you'll leave.
Right.
Okay, recommended links. I'm turning the whole section over to you, Carolyn.
Okay, the first recommended link is about Yale researchers begin human trials on airborne mRNA vaccine.
Oh, God, I hate this one.
It is exactly what it sounds like. Apparently, researchers at Yale have been testing on mice a way to spray them with mRNA.
You mean poison them? Poison them with mRNA. So, yeah. So Doctors for COVID Ethics just published a book called mRNA Vaccine Toxicity, and it's, you know, it's very high level. It's very much for doctors and scientists. But when you read how bad this stuff is, this is just killer poison. It's just.
I'll summarize it, everything you need to know from that really complex, erudite book. All mRNA technology is bad. That's it. I mean, it's dangerous, right. Toxic, and there's no good reason for it.
Unless you want to kill yourself.
Right.
I mean, if you want to commit suicide, there you go.
Right. One interesting thing that I took from this article is, a description of something that happened long ago that I never knew about. In the 50s, the government ran Operation Sea Spray near San Francisco to see how susceptible the city might be to a bioweapons attack. While convinced that they were using a harmless chemical, it spread throughout the city, with thousands of residents inhaling the microbes, many developing urinary tract infections as a result. At least one person died, and some have claimed that the chemical release altered permanently the region's microbial ecology.
Good,
I thought
God.
That was interesting. There's some indication that only people with an American IP address can read this. So I went out and found a link to the underlying article and have posted that in the links.
Oh, great. So
you can't open this to read the version describing the article. You can read the article by going to our link.
Right.
Okay. The second one was an interview of Scott Ritter, who some people may remember, and I remember, as the weapons inspector who went to the Middle East and reported back to, I think it was George W. Bush, that there were no weapons of mass destruction on the part of whoever the enemy was at the time, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, whatever. And what he came back with was disputed by the Department of Defense, who really wanted to go to war and therefore didn't want to hear that there really were no weapons of mass destruction there, because that was the excuse for our going in and invading and taking out Saddam Hussein. I think I get them all mixed up because it's been, you know, it's just one series of lies and reasons to go to war. But he goes through that history in this interview. It's an interview by a Dutchman, and it's interesting. So I include that. And if you'd like to hear Scott Ritter give you some history on it, the poster says, I don't think the US, EU, Union, and the City of London powerhouses will back down on obnoxious, delusional plans at the expense of all their citizens' lives. More relevant will be the kind of weaponry will they know how to throw into the next fray. So the next one is called, Is the Money in Your Checking Account Yours or the Bank's? From Mies Institute. This is not anything new, but I include it because whoever wrote this article went back and asked to see the checking account agreements of the six or eight major banks, JP Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, US Bank, and they looked at them and found that, you know, something like four out of the six or six out of the eight didn't mention that basically you are the creditor to your bank, and that your money when you deposit it belongs to the bank as long as you, as the bank is holding it. That is the reality of how the fractional reserve banking system works in this country. And you have a right to your money as they describe, except that if the bank goes under, you are insured as up to $250,000 in each eligible account, and you can have more than one eligible account. But the reality is, yes, in terms of the creditors of the bank, you're not a secured creditor when you have a bank account. And it used to be, it's pointed out in this article, it used to be that a bank was considered a bailee. A bailee is somebody like a parking garage that holds your property and does not have any right to keep it and is holding it as effectively as your agent and is obligated to give it back to you in the same condition that you gave it to them in. And there are exceptions where parking garages say, you know, we're not responsible for any damage to your car, but basically they have to give you your car back even if somebody else damages it. So that's what a bailee is. A bank is not a bailee. The bank basically takes your money and lends out. Basically, 90% of it can be used for other purposes. So a bank is not capable of giving every checking account holder back that checking account holder's money on demand because they've taken basically 90% of it and lent it out to other people. And so as a depositor, you are in line when the bank goes under. Make sense, Catherine?
Yep.
But if you want to read that from somebody that knows, go ahead and look at that. The next link is called Using Armenia to Destroy the International North-South Transportation Corridor. This is sort of interesting about there are two different routes that are not controlled by the Western powers that can be used to get goods from basically India to, you know, and to European countries and that Russia can use. And up until recently, the route through the Suez Canal has been the main north-south route to get goods from basically the Persian Gulf or from the ocean outside of India to Europe. And so there are two new routes being developed and partially used now that avoid going through the Suez Canal and the Red Sea and one of the other bottlenecks that are controlled by the Western powers, the United States and the other Western and NATO. So it's just interesting to know that there are, just as is the case in with money, with currencies, the U.S. dollar currency as its reserve status, there are other countries finding other ways to get around what the Western control. And this is the transportation routes that are doing the same thing. So multipolar world.
Yeah.
The next one is Zelensky buys luxury villa in Egypt. In his mother's name is a $5 million villa on in a place in Egypt that lots of multi-billionaires have villas. So, and the case is made that the money being used is, you know, from the United States or, you know, money that's been given to his country for purposes of defending the country in wartime. Right. I think I'll assume that he did not have $5 million to spend on a villa or his mother before he became president. But
here's the thing. If you look at what's coming out about how much money all these folks are getting paid for stealing, I just think it's part of the real deterioration in the faith in institutions. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get much worse.
There's lots of corruption. Somebody also sent in a link about his wife buying jewelry or something like that, $1 million worth of jewelry. But, you know, I mean, It's all part of the same scam. The next one is a link on to Russell Brand's explanation of the online safety bill that has just become effective in the UK. And this is just one in a series of European bills, which also includes a recent one by the EU to censor online content. And Russell Brand explains how terrible this is. And gee, isn't it funny that he happened to be, you know, hauled up as a sexual predator at the time that he's doing things like this. But the poster says, below is the link for the program. At a minute and 56 seconds is the list of proposed simultaneous bills in the Five Eyes countries. Funny how they all get the same idea at the same time. Now, our subscriber embedded the link, and if you would not do that and get or do that and give us the link, it saves us a lot of time because we had to go try to find this with a search on the internet. And it took quite a while to get the actual link, as opposed to somehow our unembedding it. And, you know, we can't do that. So if you want to say send in a link, it's helpful if you actually give us the link. But we did find this, and it requires, among other things, the Online Safety Act, I guess, in Britain. It requires that Ofcom, which is their regulatory agency for this, to share encrypted material. Which the excuse is that this is to protect children from pornography and other content that children shouldn't be using. But if in the name of that, the regulatory authorities have access to all content. So what can I do? The next one is how the globalists plan to take your house under the you will own nothing concept. This is a recording of a European man explaining what has been a directive in the EU for a while. And it basically is a provision, a directive that by 2023, energy class D efficiency is required of all individually owned houses, residential houses. And by 2050, all homes in the EU would have zero emissions, which of course you can imagine would require a great deal of retrofitting. And this gentleman says that he's calculated that the average cost in euros would be $100,000 to do this. And he points out, we looked it up. I've got a link in the notes to the European Commission site that describes the energy performance of buildings directive. It describes that, and it's consistent with what this gentleman describes. And so we have a link to that, but it's a way, one of the many ways that we've suggested, and we've have commentaries on the site about how there could be this great taking of real estate. And this is one method that can be used. Require things that no one can afford as a condition. And if you can't do it, there would be a taking of your property. Then the next one is CNBC, which I wouldn't ordinarily select, but this is an interview. This is an interview of a couple of people who've started a company to provide, drumroll, Pod Living is here. And it's a company that is providing pods that you can rent. Instead of having an apartment, you have a pod that's big enough for a bed, and you have privileges, presumably, to a bathroom and a kitchen. And if you watch it, you can actually see a photograph, and it looks like a bunch of tractor trailers lined up. And it wouldn't be as big as a tractor trailer, because it's not much bigger than will hold a bed. But for people who can't afford a real apartment, this is something that's being offered in California, and they have pointed out that one of these costs $500 in one part of California, $700 a month in San Francisco, and $900 a month in Silicon Valley. So this is what we're looking at for people who can't afford apartments or homes. And it's a little bit scary. You have any comment on that, Catherine?
I don't know. I find it, you know, the reason somebody is living in a pod is because they want to live in a high density, expensive, high cost area. You know, so if you move to Hickory Valley, you'll have your selections open up a lot. But yes. I find, you know, if somebody does want to live in an expensive place like that, I find it's quite fascinating and creative what people come up with. So I find this to be a very creative solution if somebody's willing to make these kinds of adjustments just to be in San Francisco. And it reminds me of that wonderful book of the guy who decided he wasn't going to take on more student loans, and he lived in a van during, you know, he got his whole graduate degree living in a van.
Right.
And, you know, and so I think it really makes sense to say, what can I do to live financially in a prudent way, but also, you know, do something like live in San Francisco? And they face the music and they come up with these creative solutions. So I don't know. I was very impressed.
Yeah. The next one, this subscriber sent in two links that are similar. One of them I can't make head nor tail of, but I would, if you're interested in what the new Intel chip is like and what it does, it's called Intel Meteor Lake Laptops Have Sensing IP Block. I didn't have time to, or our IT guys didn't have time to get back to me to explain what this is, but it's creepy. And the other link I was able to understand, and it talks about Wi-Fi sensing applications and standards development. And it says, following of older people living in their on their own has been regarded as a major public health worry that can even lead to death. But the Wi-Fi sensing caregivers or family members can make use of the revolutionary technology by which they can potentially save the lives of the elderly without installing any additional hardware or involving any wearable sensors. The next big revolution in sensing technology is Wi-Fi sensing, which is being standardized by IEEE 802.11bf Task Group. I don't know what that is, but it sounds creepy, and is expected to be completed by 2024. So basically, your Wi-Fi will be listening to you. And whoever has access to this sensing technology will be able to know what you are doing physically in your own home.
Right. So it's not just listening to you. It's literally mapping you.
Right.
24/7.
Right.
How creepy is that? I think it's doing it now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, the next one I discussed with Catherine, this is along the lines of what we talked about earlier about the what some have proposed is hydrogels in either PCR tests or jabs for COVID, and the possibility that there could be some kind of sensing technology that would do things to you because of what's been entered in your body through the jabs or the PCR tests. And this is from an interview with a weapons expert by Maria Z, who is generally has some interesting interviews, of a gentleman named Mark Steele, who is portrayed as a 5G weapons expert. The reason I included this, it's kind of bizarro world. Who knows whether any of this, a lot of people have talked about nanobots in the injections. And he says that there are hydrogels that would be able, he connected this to the possibility, this was written before the emergency broadcast system test. And there were some people who thought that there was going to be something activated in people who had had the jab. Obviously, it didn't happen, but he also postulated that the whole purpose of that exercise might have been to see how many people would turn off, and that it was a test. And the part of this that I found interesting was something that I've heard from a number of sources. So I think it is probably true that there are things being mounted on light poles, LED lights on highways, for example, that have cameras and possibly directed energy weapons. They just look very creepy. There are all sorts of things mounted on these light posts, and it happened during the lockdowns of the pandemic, and apparently it's all over Britain, but it is definitely something going on here. And whether it's what this gentleman says, I don't know, but something's going on. He also says that there's a secret $2.6 billion contract in Birmingham for secret streetlight weapons for spying on everyone.
So that's Birmingham in London. I mean, in England, in Alabama.
Yes. Yeah. So there's also a photo of a multi-fusion photon ionizing radiation gun, which are allegedly of the type mounted on streetlights in Britain. He says it's never been tested. So, you know, take it for what it is. It may or may not be accurate, but there's also a lot of stuff out there that's a lot of sophisticated weaponry that is
right. Amazing. Right. And it's hard to get good intelligence on it. So there's
absolutely
right.
And I'm skeptical of some of the hydrogel allegations, but you know, something's going on.
Well, they're putting all sorts of engineered particles into our body, and the question is, what do they connect up with and how?
Yeah, and do they connect up with all of these things that are being mounted every so many feet, apparently, in at least right. some neighborhoods and in rural districts too?
I absolutely believe the towers are weaponized. So I'm I've had some experience with things like that. So, you know, if you go to Targeted Justice, you can see a lot more about the different theories. But
yeah,
unfortunately, I think this stuff has been weaponized. So,
right.
Okay.
In taking action, and I have the first, it's actually a comment, not a question. And it is, this is a star subscriber who has done the right.
This person gets a huge gold star. Huge.
Gold star.
Yeah,
When public school started this year, all students were automatically opted in to the district's wholesale healthcare programs. To opt out of health counseling, quote unquote, and other Trojan horse types of services being benevolently provided, I had to also opt out my children from all first aid care, even for minor cuts and scrapes. It was all or nothing, a pirate's dilemma, join the murderous crew or walk the plank. When I went to discuss this with the school district and then the local school nurse, who I was eventually directed to, they were surprised that I had taken issue with the wording of the form. Gee, why wouldn't you let them do anything they want, like giving your child antidepressants without your knowledge? Over time and through discussion, that surprise turned to understanding, and the understanding has resulted in changing the form for the whole district.
Wow.
So this subscriber has copied, and we have put into our script a copy of the old form and the new form. And the old form basically said, school healthcare services, which may include first aid, emergency care, records review, health appraisals, nursing assessment, nutrition assessment, preventive dental care, dental health and education, health counseling, referral and follow-up, health promotion, disease and injury prevention, basic health education and health education. If this box is checked, the student will not receive clinic services as outlined above, including but not limited to temperature checks, apply Band-Aids, etc. So that's the all or nothing. And then the new form breaks down things that you can check one or more of 8 boxes, which include basic health care such as Band-Aids and temperature checks, preventive dental health and dental education. If you don't want them looking at your kid's teeth, you don't have health counseling, referral and follow-up. That might be another one that you might not want to check. Health promotion and disease and injury prevention, vision screening. You know, if you have your own optometrist, why do you need to have the school do it? Health, weight, body mass index screening, scoliosis screening, you know. So anyway, this is, as we said, this subscriber gets a star.
Yeah, this is
and
great.
Everyone should do that and be very careful when you, if you have a minor child in the school system, they are now frequently, the public schools are putting in place healthcare clinics, basically, that do way more than we ever, those of us of an age, ever saw done.
Yeah, and it's dangerous. It's dangerous that they have that data.
And they've got psychological counseling and things like that in there.
Very dangerous. No, 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 no. Keep them out of your business. Okay, local gatherings. Our last question. Dear Catherine, you mentioned you'd be willing to meet with your subscribers at the Wise Tradition Conference in Kansas City on 19th to 22nd. So we want to do a meetup during lunch, the way you get at a buffet lunch and you get your lunch. But if we can find a room to do a meetup during lunchtime on Saturday, that's what we'd like to do. So one of our colleagues is calling Weston Price this and the hotel, the venue, to see if we can get a room. So just put a hold on that luncheon during the Saturday, and hopefully we can go ahead and find a space or get a room.
Right.
And Carolyn, that is it. Now, we had that wonderful person from Virginia and we rolled it over to this week. It's not here. Could you make sure to add it? And you and I have to do that next week. I was going to do it this week and then Israel hit. and
my to-do list is growing. It is not lack of care. It's just.
Okay. And we apologize again. You have every reason to, you know, be irritated with us, but we really intend to go through it. So if you could put it on this week and next week, you know, we will endeavor to get that done. Okay.
Okay. Yes. You want it to be entered in the script?
Yeah. This week and next. I want it to stay in the script until we satisfy our commitment. Okay.
Sounds good.
And we will make time to do it next week. So I'm flying to the United States on Sunday. So we will record. We will both be on Eastern time instead of being in Europe. So Carolyn went back first, and now here I come. So I'm hoping, in fact, I see many, many people at, we'll be at Crossing Creek Farm on October 28th. We'll be at Weston Price from 20th to 22nd. And then November 2nd to 5th, we'll be at CHD in Savannah, Georgia. So, and I'm doing an event in Rogersville on November, I think that's Monday, November 6th. Anyway, it'll all be up in the event page. So, but in the meantime, we'll talk to you next week in Ask Catherine and the Solaria team. So Carolyn, thank you very much. It's good that you got back safely.
Yes. And a reminder, if you want to see what we did in Europe, you can look at this conference in Sweden, on the Children's Health Defense site. And I believe we have it in Solaria in the news also.
Great. Okay. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, have a great evening and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.